You're listening to the ESPN Radio 94.1 podcast page, accelerated by Sports Innovation X. Six is bridging the gap between tech, athletes, and teams. Check them out at sportsinnovationx.com.
The 757 is steeped in high school and college sports tradition. It's time to give local sports the spotlight it deserves every single night. It's the 757 at 6 on ESPN Radio 94.1.
Seven five seven at 6, ESPN Radio 941. I'm Tim Donnelly, Robbie Vogler here as well. The Tides have some exciting things coming up. We'll start with a team that we've been tracking for the last week or so. The Norfolk Tides announced they will be hosting United States Senior Little League Champions. Senior Little League Champions was the word I tried to say there. Fleet Park Little League. This Friday, they will be hosted by the Tides. Of course, they won the U.S. side of the bracket in the Senior Little League World Series before falling in the championship for the World Series. But they're still the U.S. champs, 16 and under. Really exciting team from right around here. And they will be honored by the local minor league team, which is a surprisingly cool thing for youth baseball. I remember seeing the local minor league teams do that with kids teams back in the day. I don't know why, but like running out there, getting the ball signed, standing there when they sing the national anthem. It's just a cool moment.
I was part of one of those teams back when I was like in coach pitch. We had won like our league tournament. We got to go to the Tides, got to go to the on the field for the national anthem. It was just one of the coolest things as a kid.
Did you run out there like with a player?
Yep.
Who'd you run or what position?
I think it was like third base.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. My brother got to do it for the Atlantic City Surf.
That's awesome.
I never got to do it. I remember watching him do it and thinking like he's 2 years older than me, thinking like 2 years. We never did it. Not that I still remember or anything, but I also didn't win the United States Senior Little League Championship. So maybe Fleet Park deserves it a bit more than I did growing up, but it's a really cool moment. And it's a nice way to honor a local team with the local minor league group, minor league affiliate. But I also want to throw this out there. Hopefully Gunnar Henderson is still there. Mike Elias, the GM for the big league club, was on MLB Network Radio earlier this week, or I should say over the weekend, talking about Gunnar Henderson, who recently has ascended to the top of the prospect rankings, the number one prospect in all of baseball. Here's the quote from the GM. "We're going to, within reason, do everything we can to enhance our playoff odds. I think this year is definitely on the table. Right now, we have a bunch of infielders that are playing pretty well." Close quote. That sounds like you're preparing. That sounds like you're testing the waters, and it sounds like there's a good chance Gunnar Henderson's going to be brought up. And if you're doing everything you can to enhance your playoff odds, then you're not thinking that he has to even step into an everyday big time role where he's like your starting shortstop, right? It might be a defensive replacement. It might be a spot start here and there when guys need a break. It might be not a full-time deal, but if Gunnar Henderson can help your club, you want to get him up there. The other thing that I think could be interesting for a player like Gunnar Henderson is how now this is not supposed to be a pot shot, right? I'm not a low blow of any kind. How often are the Orioles in a playoff race? Like legitimately in a playoff race? It doesn't happen that often, right? So if you want a player like Gunnar Henderson, who, you know, even if he's not called up now, will be called up sometime in the next year or two, maybe, and is expected to be a part of your future, if you want him to get experience in a playoff race, what are you going to do? You're going to be the Orioles and say, we'll get him experience in a playoff race next year? That sounds like famous last words to me, right? That sounds like famous last words to me. And you could get him that experience alongside so many of the players that are going to be, hopefully, in that role with him for the next decade, right? You're going to get him traveling with DL Hall, traveling with Adley Rushman, traveling with these young guys that are so talented and potential laden, that even if he's not playing every single day, or even if he's not, you know, just, hey, here's our, you're our starting shortstop, let's you know, get you four at bats a game, even if you're not that, you're still around it. You're still around it. There were guys, it's kind of funny. My sophomore year of college, we made it to the national championship game, lost in the national championship game. I don't need to go into the details. But there were probably five true freshmen that were redshirting that traveled that year, meaning they were on the bus, they were on the plane, they were going to, they were on the sideline for away games, which is pretty rare. Normally, if you're redshirting, you don't travel, right? You're actually a lot of times back at the facilities working out on game day, right? Because if you're not playing, why not? But the coaches, A, knew we had a pretty good team that year, knew we were going to be making a run, and wanted those guys to be around the success we were having. They wanted them to just be in the mix for a team preparing to make a run. And even if that meant, you know, they didn't do the extra workouts on game day, they were instead doing workouts traveling somewhere, like in the hotel gym or whatever, they were in team meal, they were all that sort of stuff. So I would lean towards bringing up Gunnar Henderson once the you know, rosters expand, even if he almost has no role, because I just want him around it, right? I just want him and those guys to be used to seeing each other on the day of a big game. I want him to be used to being locked in. I want him to be used to being around the team when they're in a playoff race. And like I said, no low blow intended. How often are the Orioles going to be in this spot?
And it reminds me a lot. I've been watching the captain, the Derek Jeter documentary. They brought him up at the end of the 95 season so he could kind of experience the run they were making. They lost in the divisional series to the Mariners, and he says on the documentary, I didn't want to feel that again. And obviously he's a shortstop and came up and the rest is history, but that similarity of bringing somebody up so they can experience the rush of making that playoff push, so when they are putting that starting role or part of the everyday roster, they can feel what it feels like to maybe not get there, but they don't want to get there again.
It's, yeah, you're going to be wide-eyed and at some point, I mean, it's, you can act like you're too cool, right? Oh, this isn't a big, it's a big deal, right? Getting called up, it's a big deal. Playing in your first playoff run is a big deal. Every athlete does it. Heck, even if you're a football, basketball, hockey, soccer player, at some point in time, you were in your backyard facing a 3-2 count, bottom of the ninth with two runners on and you were down two or whatever it is, right? And, you know, if you strike out, you foul tip, we get to keep going. Like, everybody has done that. It's cool to live out your dream. So I would hope Gunnar Henderson gets brought up, even if, you know, like the GM said, we have a bunch of infielders that are playing really well right now. Perfect. Great. I almost like it more that you can bring them up and not depend on them. Right? Get them some at-bats, get them the heart racing a bit, and then let them learn from that. Now, I say all of that, and then I also say, but also keep him here because he's the number one prospect in baseball and he's playing for the Norfolk Tides right here in the 757 in Hampton Roads, which is also exciting. Also exciting. And they will have the Little League United States champions on Friday at the game, and I'm sure they would like to get a ball signed by Gunnar Henderson, so keep him at least through Friday. This is the 757 at 6 on ESPN Radio 941. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN Radio 941. You can also follow me at Donnelly Sports. All of our social media is brought to you by Dominion Floor Covering. More of the 757 at 6 coming up next.
Putting a spotlight on local high school and college coaches and athletes. It's the 757 at 6 on ESPN Radio 94.1.
ESPN Radio 94.1, 757 at 6. Do you know where UVA men's basketball is right now?
The Bahamas.
Italy.
Darn.
Italy. And of course, that includes former Maury standout Chase Coleman, who's a role player on the Cavaliers. Here's the reason why I bring that up. Virginia men's basketball in Europe begins with a rout of an Italian team in Rome. Act like that's not a really, really cool sentence. Like, if you're deciding on where you're going to play, probably be like, oh, wherever it takes me, the coolest places, right? That is a really, really cool sentence. Do you remember, there was a couple years ago where, like, Notre Dame and Navy played in Ireland on football. There was, we're going back probably like a decade now, maybe even longer, Michigan State and North Carolina played basketball on an aircraft carrier. Those things are really cool. But this is what's frustrating about the UVA men's basketball team beginning their European tour with a rout of an Italian team in Rome. You're only allowed to do that once every 4 years. The NCAA only lets you go on one of these off-season overseas trips once every 4 years. And for the life of me, I cannot find a reason why they would limit it. Right? We're talking about like Maury standout Chase Coleman. Now, I don't know Chase's background. I don't know his family at all. But I know me and most of my friends that played college sports, we don't have a lot of opportunities to go to Rome, right? We don't have a lot of opportunities to go to Belgium or like anywhere else in the world usually. Matter of fact, I played football at the University of Delaware. Do you know what fun fact about the University of Delaware? We are the first school to have study abroad. We like created it. I don't know if that's true, but it's in the brochure, right? It's one of the things that they tell prospective students. But also, we as athletes, we couldn't do it, right? Like, you couldn't take a semester and go to some faraway place because you'd miss workouts, you'd miss spring ball, or you'd miss the season, or you couldn't even go home for more than 2 weeks in the summer because you had to be back for summer workouts. So we couldn't enjoy any of that. All of our classmates, all of a sudden, they'd disappear for like 6 months and they'd come back with an accent. All right, that's a little fishy. You're only there 6 months. Or they'd be ordering fancy food going, this is what I ate in Prague, whatever it is. But this would be an opportunity where you could get a taste of it, right? If you go over for a couple of weeks, you play against some European clubs, you have some exhibition games, that is a really cool and also like enlightening experience. It's good world culture, right? It's just good. And a team like Virginia, guess what? They have the money to do it. Does every program have the ability? No, but let's not act like discrepancies in spending money suddenly upsets you. I have no idea why you can't do that every year. Why the NCAA has stepped in and said Virginia can only go to Europe once every 4 years. Matter of fact, I think they should be encouraging it. Right? What do they say? There's college athletes, and most of them will go pro in something other than sports. What do you think benefits the players who go pro in something other than sports more? Sticking around campus and getting more time spent in the practice gym and in the weight room, or going to Germany or going to Czechoslovakia, right? Going somewhere else in the world and being able to experience that culture and become a bit more worldly. Virginia men's basketball should be somewhere every year. And Virginia Tech men's basketball and women's basketball should be somewhere every year. UVA baseball should be. If you can afford it and you have the money, you should go somewhere. Learn something. And when you're over there, experience some things, right? I'd be upset if they're in Italy, if they're in Rome, and they don't come back with at least a couple stories of some bananas meals that they had. Right? They should have some kind of pasta or something. Gotta be something crazy. I read an article about a player for Kentucky who, I don't know what country he originates from, but he's in the United States on a student visa. And because of that, he can't make any name, image, and likeness money in America. Because that then, you know, he's no longer a student, I guess, in the visa world. But they went, it was Kentucky, right? So they're in the Bahamas, or they went to the Bahamas for their off-season little tournament. And while there, they scheduled their practice around like his commercial shoots and everything because they wanted to make sure, since they were out of America, he could make money. They wanted to make sure they capitalized on it. He ended up making like $500,000 in 7 days. That's ridiculous. But also, they should go out of the country as often as possible. Right? Everyone else can make money in name, image, and likeness. Why can't that guy? ODU football. They should hold, remember, Michigan held their spring practice somewhere. It might have been Rome again. I feel like everyone's just going to Italy. Probably because Jim Harbaugh wanted to get in the middle of the Coliseum and give the gladiator speech to his team. Father of a murdered one. Play that again.
Was that Are you not entertained?
Yes. Are you not entertained? Tell me you can't see Jim Harbaugh khakied, glasses on, Michigan hat. Are you not entertained? Needs to happen. And it's another step where the NCAA needs to be forward thinking with all of this, right? The name, image, and likeness deal they made legal, or they allowed, and they didn't have a plan for it, right? They didn't plan on having all of this stuff breaking their way. They didn't plan on suddenly these collectives offering $1 million to recruits and all those sorts of things. They weren't proactive. They were severely reactive. This would be something that they could do, right? Make it legal for teams to go overseas every single year for 10 days in the off season. Whatever, like, I mean, seriously, it doesn't have to be more than that. 10 days in the off season. It could be less. 7 days in the off season. And it's just another way to look like you actually care about the students. And I don't really care if you do care about the students or not, because I think it's proven the NCAA doesn't. They care about making money. I don't care if you actually do. I care if your actions say you do or not. I don't care what your motivation is, as long as the athletes are being taken care of. It's just one of those things that, like, I forget about, right? The teams I cover, you know, for 3 years, they don't do anything. And then suddenly you see a random headline about Virginia beating a European club in Rome. And you're like, that's awesome. And you look at it and you're like, oh, yeah, they're only allowed to do that once every 4 years. Which I'm sure goes back to when players stayed 4 years. Now, if you're a one and done or two and done or a three and done, or you're transferring in and you only have 2 years of eligibility left, you might not get to do it at all. It's like my first high school, the marching band used to go to the Rose Bowl parade once every 4 years. And their thing, because it was high school, their thing was, if you're in the band all 4 years, you'll get to go to the Rose Bowl parade once. You can't even make that kind of guarantee in college anymore, because especially at a big-time program like UVA, a lot of people aren't staying 4 years. Sometimes you're lucky to get them 2 years. But yes, they should be doing it each and every single year. I think that goes without saying. And so should Virginia Tech. And so should ODU.
Where would you have wanted to go if you had the opportunity to go travel and be a part of something like that? You know, where would you want? What would, I guess, your bucket list of place you would want to go to make that experience happen?
Me personally, I have two answers to that. One, I went pretty far down like the genealogy rabbit hole. I've taken our family tree pretty far back. So Northern Ireland would be my spot, because that's where, like, most closely on the family tree, my ancestors came over from Northern Ireland. But to be honest, as you were asking the question before we got to there, I went to food. So yeah, like Italy, somewhere that just has delicious local cuisine. Have you ever heard of the Blue Zone in Italy?
I have not.
Okay, ready. I'm sure I'm going to mess up part of this, but you'll get the gist. Blue Zones are places where people live like forever. There's a Blue Zone in Italy where like the average age of how long you live is like 107. And it's a small little group, but they just eat like a ton of pasta, very little protein. So it's a ton of pasta, ton of sauce. They drink wine. There's a lot of like eggplant and stuff. And they walk everywhere. It's crazy. You can look it up. There's a documentary about it on Netflix. But I'd want to go at least have one meal there with like a couple hundred and seven. The one guy was like 98, and he was like still going for long walks every day, like to start his day. I want to go talk with them. So Italy, but also, Ireland. But also, I mean, I've never been to Europe. The only place I've left the country for is like islands. So I'm not going to be choosy at all. Actually, I've been to Canada too. I don't know if that one counts as much.
Of course it counts. You're out of the country.
Either way, 757 at 6 coming to a close. The Orioles coming up in a playoff race. We talked about it. Robbie, thanks for keeping us up and running. Until tomorrow, everybody, follow us on Twitter at ESPN Radio 941 and at Donnelly Sports. All of our social media brought to you by Dominion Floor Covering. Until tomorrow, have a great night, everybody.